Well, we're chatting today with Dr. Maria Curry. She lives in Palestine. She's here in the United States for a little while, but she's from the West Bank of the Jordan River in the biblical land of Judea and Samaria. And she's authored many articles dealing with the Christian presence in the Holy Land and the Palestinian struggle for independence and freedom, including her new book, Witness in the Holy Land, A Reflection of Life in the Occupied Territories Since the Outbreak of the Second Palestinian Uprising in September of 2000. Welcome to Ancient Faith Radio, Maria.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you for having me.
Now, when was the last time you were in the Holy Land?
Well, I have just come here from my small village of Taibe in January to do a book tour, also with a children's book that I have, Coloring with Christina, sort of opposite from Witness in the Holy Land, to show the beauty that exists with the foundation of our Christian faith and the Mother Church in Jerusalem. So I've been here since January and, God willing, plan to go back in mid-March.
Give us a glimpse of the Christians in the Holy Land. We hear, of course, a lot about the struggles and the political ramifications, but when you're just thinking of people who name the name of Christ, who claim to be Christians, what is the breakdown there?
Well, for us, for the 4 million Palestinians that live in the West Bank and Gaza, less than 2% are Christians. And since 1948, with the establishment of Israel, we see more and more Palestinians leaving the occupied territories because they're just being squeezed out. The high unemployment, the wars, the checkpoints, just the awful oppressive policies is really squeezing our Christian community the most because we're such few Christians.
And of the Christians, how many of them would be Orthodox versus Catholic versus Protestant?
Throughout the years, actually, John, the majority of Christians in the Holy Land have always been Orthodox. But what is happening is the very terrible conditions and the rest of the denominations coming in and really meeting people's social needs. We have a lot of people that converted and pray with a Protestant faith, pray with a Catholic faith only because they get, for example, jobs and free education and housing. And so when people give you a job or education and housing, they say, wouldn't it be lovely to see you in church on Sunday? So our Orthodox churches actually throughout the years are emptying out because we're not doing as much as an Orthodox community to meet the needs of people to help them with their day-to-day struggles.
And describe those struggles. I know the hardship for Christians in the Holy Land is far greater than many people realize. Could you give us a glimpse of what is happening there?
Well, for example, we just don't have any basic freedoms. It's just so profound to be in such a spiritual place where you might be 10 minutes away from the life-giving tomb of Christ where Jesus was crucified and resurrected. But if you're a Palestinian Christian, you're not permitted to freely go and worship there or venerate or light the vigil lamps. And it's quite sad. People come from all over the world, and they can access Jerusalem. But it's this double standard that if you live as a Palestinian in the occupied Palestinian territories, you need a permit to get into Jerusalem. So our worst suffering is just lack of basic movement. And now with the wall that has gone up, closing in all of the different Palestinian territories, it's just worse than ever because basically we are in an open area prison. These policies are policies that are placed from the occupying forces for all Palestinians, whether they're Palestinian Muslims, Palestinian Christians, Christians that are Orthodox, Protestant, or Catholic. Anyone who has a Palestinian ID does not have basic freedom of movement and must obtain a permit to basically do anything. Go to work in Jerusalem, you need a permit. To go to the hospital in Jerusalem, you need a permit. And to pray, you need a permit.
Well, we're certainly not going to be able to solve all of these very complicated problems here, but we do want to concentrate on the plight of the Christians, what their needs are, and what is being done to try to meet those needs.
Right. I think currently the most important thing is hoping that people everywhere can pray for peace and stability, because it's something that all faiths can use in Jerusalem. It's such a sacred land for all, yet has seen so much bloodshed. So as Christian people, we always try to be peacemakers and promote reconciliation, promote forgiveness, and this is a big difference in how we treat each other, because we believe in peaceful resistance to this awful oppression that we encounter. And so our Christian community in such a very violent location is so critical more than ever, because it really is representing Christ's peace, Christ's love, and a witness for the commandments that Christ taught us.
I understand, Maria, that you are particularly involved in a housing ministry yourself. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, Christians need some basic needs such as jobs, housing, and education. And so some of the programs that I work with in particular try to help our small Christian community of Taibe, the small little village that I live in, where my husband was born, try to maintain the small population through one of the projects is the Taibe Orthodox Church Housing Project, aimed at helping people build their first home if they don't have a home and if they don't own land, trying to help others that are not as blessed as I am. I have my own home there, and other people, it's not like the U.S. that you could get a mortgage or you could borrow money. If you don't have $50,000 up front, you cannot build a home, and that's the current price of a home there in our village, because we build with stone, and this is how much it costs to build a house in the village.
We're talking with Dr. Maria Curry. She is a resident of the Holy Land, in particular. Maria, you are in a village called
Taibe.
Taibe, and describe where that is geographically.
Yes, Taibe, you will not find it really on any map, because our biblical name is the village of Ephraim, and it's the place where Christ came right before his crucifixion. He escaped to Ephraim before he had the glorious entry into Jerusalem, but our name from Ephraim was changed in the 12th century by the Islamic leader Salah ad-Din, because the Christian community was so generous in feeding his horses and his soldiers, and he made a statement that they are Taibin, which means in Arabic good, generous, and since that time we took on the modern name Taibe. We're north of Jerusalem, half an hour ride outside of Jerusalem would get you into Taibe. We're in the highest mountain region of Palestine. It's very beautiful because at night we see the lights of Jerusalem. In the daytime, from a certain point, you could see the sparkle on the Dead Sea. And also just 10 minutes up from the Mount of Temptation, where Christ said no to Satan. And over on the other side, I can actually see at night the lights of Amman, Jordan. So right down below me is where St. Mary of Egypt spent more than 40 years of her life asking for forgiveness from the Lord. So it's such a beautiful, actually, location. And it's the only 100% Christian village that now survives there in the West Bank, where the rest of the villages, people have basically moved out to Australia, to America, to Britain, looking for a better life, looking for jobs, because we suffer from this terrible oppression and occupation since 1967, when Israel took over those territories as well.
Now, Maria, we hear stories here in the United States of bombings and terrorist attacks, and you wonder how safe it is to be there. Do you consider where you live to be a safe area?
Our village is quite small. We're less than 2,000 people. We are all peaceful people, so the Israeli army does not invade our area as much as it invades Gaza or Nablus. So we don't have invasions from the Israeli army because we don't resist in a violent way the Israeli occupation. We are trying to find peaceful ways to resist through writing, through speaking, through prayers. And so we feel that since we are peaceful people and we are accepting and trying to resist with our presence, actually, and with just being there and trying to survive.
Now, one way you have chosen to speak to the needs there is through your writing. And we had mentioned a couple of your books, but let's talk a little bit about your children's books. And what is it you hope to accomplish with these?
Well, since the early 90s, I've always been trying to promote Orthodox values and traditions through the Christina character that was first developed in the book Christina Goes to Church. And so my love is to try to help children come closer to God. And since I had developed the Christian character of Christina, a way to teach children about our faith, I thought, since I've been living in Palestine since the early 90s, since after the Oslo Agreement, where we thought it would be more peaceful, why don't I use this character to walk the footsteps of Jesus and to actually take children through a virtual pilgrimage of what it's like to walk the path that the Lord walked. And so I was hoping to plant a little seed in children's minds that the Holy Land is a place where we should pray for peace and stability, and a place where we should think about visiting, since the life-giving tomb of Christ is the most precious and sacred place. If you are a Christian person, this is the most sacred place you could ever visit on earth and venerate, where our Lord was resurrected. So Christina Goes to the Holy Land, I was hoping to plant the seed in children's minds with that. And then I noticed the text was quite much in this colorful book. And this year, right fresh off the press, I've brought to the United States the coloring book, Coloring with Christina, which the child can color Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And actually, both of my children's books have a message at the end, because the little girl Christina does come to the only Christian village that is left, Taibe, so she can go back to her school, to her church, with the message that Christians need help to stay in the Holy Land. And part of the help that we need is for communities here not to forget about us and to express the ultimate solidarity by visiting and walking the footsteps of Christ themselves. And this is what boosts our economy, because most of the Christian people work with serving food to people at the hotel, or driving them to the holy sites, or selling them their olive wood souvenirs. So I'm hoping that with children it will erase the fear of not wanting to come there because of the violence, because many adults say, yes, we're scared. We hear about bombings. We hear about violence. But yet, when you come on an international passport, an American passport, you have the freedom to move around. And most of the holy sites are guarded and protected by both Israeli army and Palestinian policemen. And so we hope it will continue to be safe for people at least to visit the precious and sacred holy sites.
Well, if you are a listener to Readings from Under the Grapevine, you've heard Dr. Chrissy Hart read Christina Goes to the Holy Land. And people may want to know how to get a hold of this book. Maria, where can people purchase both your children's books, but also your other material?
The Witness in the Holy Land book is available from the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese, the Religious Education Department. It's available from Holy Cross Bookstore. Both of those are located at 50 Goddard Avenue in Brookline, Massachusetts. They have 800 numbers and websites. And St. Nectarios Press in Seattle also promotes the Holy Land books that are printed in Jerusalem. And Conciliar Press also has some of the Christina books as well. So those are the main distributors for Christina books here in the United States.
Well, we would encourage our listeners to look for these, not only the children's books, but some good information for us adults as well, to learn more about the plight of the Christians in the Holy Land, and give us some good material to be able to more intelligently pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who reside in the Holy Land. Well, we want to thank Dr. Maria Curry for joining us today. Any final words, Maria, that you'd like for our listeners to know?
Well, John, I just wanted to say also the aim of my book, A Witness in the Holy Land, is for people, when they read it, to also understand that here in the United States, what a beautiful country this is, and basic things that people have here, like a home, a job, a beautiful community to pray in, not to take these things for granted, because it is these very basic things that we suffer from living in the Holy Land under military occupation. So in a way, I was hoping that my book could allow people to give glory to God for the beautiful things that are offered on this side of the world. Although we live on the opposite side of the wall, and we are, you know, psychologically and physically suffering in a terrible way, we wanted people to enjoy the blessings that they have and to always give glory to God when they live, you know, in freedom.
Well put. And another good reason to be looking for these books, you can search through Holy Cross Bookstore, Conciliar Press, St. Nectarios Press, and we'll also have a link for you on our Ancient Faith Radio website. Our guest, Dr. Maria Curry from the Palestinian community of Taiba. And we want to thank very much, Maria, for joining us. And we'll look forward to catching up with you the next time you're in the States. Would that be all right?
Thank you so much, John. I hope to continue to have God's blessings and return and share the beauty that exists in the Holy Land with the miracle of the holy fire that continues to happen there, which shows that Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be. Thanks, Maria.
Thank you.